truthfully, what happens is, as children grow up, we start to educate them progressively from the waist up. And then we focus on their heads, and slightly to one side.
I think in the old days, you know, you were better off. Because nowadays, they're all specialists. Everyone's becoming better and better, and less and less. And eventually, someone's going to be superb at nothing.
Our education system has mined our minds in the way that we've strip-mined the earth for a particular commodity. And for the future, it won't serve us. We have to rethink the fundamental principles on which we're educating our children.
We're not here to tell everybody that they're wrong and we're right. We're not saying that we have all the answers, but we'd like to present a different way of looking at it.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to China Graduation Episode 20. My name is Lily Yuan. I'm a student at the University of Hong Kong in Hong Kong, China. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you, Lily Yuan. Welcome, Will, Lily, myself, to the studio. Yeah. Can you say that China, that sounded quite, that was a new kind of way of saying China Graduation then. I think you said
Graduation. Actually,
that was perfect then. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yeah, really great. Listeners don't know that was our 100th attempt at that, but only joking. China Jedication, I know it's a bit of a tongue twister. Do you see how we've put China Jedi and then education into it somehow? Mm. Jeducation.
Yeah,
we're Jedifying education and making a really bad mess of it, aren't we, Will? Well, episode 20, here we are, and Lily has come all the way from Hong Kong today, so we're going to have a good chat about what you're doing with our faculty and the school and what you're studying, because it's really quite interesting stuff. First of all, Mr. Lamont, what's been happening since we last had a jam, if I can use that?
Not a terrible amount of things, but it is busy at school at the moment. As you know, we've got the end of semester tests coming up.
Another test?
Yes, more tests. And of course, then you have to make all the revision material for said tests, and then I've found a new apartment, so I'll be moving house soon, which is nice.
Yes. Yeah. Lots of things on the go.
Yes.
And what a perfect time to move house at Christmas.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and it's a little bit noisy there, you said, even though it's on the 17th floor.
Yeah, it's much noisier than our current apartment. But it has an elevator, so yay.
Oh, your first place didn't?
Oh, no.
Because you've never invited me, you know, as professionals. We don't get unprofessional, do we?
Well, it's more like my house is embarrassingly small, and one of us would have to sit on the toilet as the other one was entertaining in the other room.
That would make an interesting podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's I'm sure it'll be fine once you get into it and make it home. Mm. So that's wonderful. Good stuff. Now, Lily, what's been happening with you? Of course, you've been in town the last few days, and you're filming, aren't you?
Filming Zhuhai.
Are you filming movies?
No, actually, I didn't film the movie. But how about the Hong Kong? I went to the town to see the decoration in Hong Kong.
Oh, okay. You've been, there's lots of Christmas decorations in
Hong
Kong.
Yes, yes. And cool. With my friends to enjoy the festival. And actually, the shopping now is quite good because it's at discount.
Discount. Yeah. There's a big difference between the decorations in Hong Kong and when you come to the mainland like Zhuhai, isn't there? There's a lot less of them here.
Oh, I didn't see any decoration in Zhuhai, but it's quite different from Hong Kong because we also celebrate the Christmas there. Do we celebrate the Christmas in Zhuhai?
Well, we certainly do. I mean, Will, you said you maybe do or you don't sometimes.
We usually just restrict it to with the kids at school anyways. We spend most of our time at the school, so that tends to be where we celebrate it.
Yeah, myself, I'm completely unrestricted as far as Christmas goes because it's my birthday month for a couple of days. Tomorrow, actually, tomorrow, William, in case you forgot.
No.
And and Lily, now that's new news to you and listeners. Yeah. But it's probably going to be going out after my birthday, so please don't send too many things in.
Fairly certain you've mentioned it before in the podcast.
I'm fairly sure I possibly have. Of course, nothing to celebrate as you get older in a way when you look at the number, but of course, there's so much to celebrate.
We're still alive.
Yes, right. Thank you, Will. And live and kicking. So we have Christmas. I've got my birthday, Christmas. Then we've got New Year. Western New Year. So that really this month is a wonderful time, especially for me. We get a little bit fatter and we taste a lot more things and have fun with our friends. And if Christmas for me with my three boys is a must. So we keep the, you know, the elf on the shelf going and Santa Claus is coming and my wallet is getting less and less. As we purchase all these things that you can easily do on Taobao. So, yeah, it's a wonderful time. And I'm glad you've been enjoying the celebration at Christmas in Hong Kong. So Christmas Day in Hong Kong, what do you do? Do you wake up and look into your stocking?
Oh, no. At Christmas Day, actually, we usually spend the Christmas with our friends. In the evening, we will have some drinks to celebrate the festival together and also have hot pot. We even invite friends from different countries to have hot pot. You know, hot pot is so popular in China, so we also want them to have a taste about how to celebrate the Christmas festival with Chinese style.
I like that. It's a hot pot Christmas. Forget the turkey, listeners. Just have a big pot. And of course, the great thing about a hot pot is you can sit around it and talk and have great fun and the vegetables and the meat makes
it, it colors match.
Yes.
Yeah, red and green.
Red and green. And the taste changes, doesn't it, as the hours go on. Someone might put a little bit of alcohol in there when no one's looking and it really turns into a big hodgepodge. Yeah, that's really marvelous. But not a family thing then. It's generally friends in Hong Kong, is it?
Yeah, because our families are in different places. Okay. So only the friends get together. Yeah. Because we are all students and the students come from different countries such as Cambodia or America or something.
Great.
So we get together.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I remember my wife, of course, being Japanese. In Japan, a lot of the Japanese, they celebrate Christmas like Hong Kongese. And what they do is they tend to have karaoke. And they eat KFC and McDonald's. It's generally how they celebrate. So there you go. Well done, Ronald McDonald. You've tied it in there. Okay, what's been happening with me? Well, no one wants to know that. So let's move on, shall we? Well, no one ever asked me, especially not you, Mr. Lamont. Fact of the week. And yes, riddle of the day thingy. Here we go.
May the smile be with you.
Thank you.
Okay, then. So let's start with the... with the fact of the week. Oh, it doesn't matter. I really don't care. It's fine. I talk far too much on this pod anyway. Butterflies. Let's talk butterflies, shall we? Here's a fact for you. Butterflies taste food by standing on top of it. Their taste receptors are in their feet, unlike humans who have most on their tongue. That's an interesting concept. Whoever made butterflies thought about turning the whole thing upside down. So they stand on food to taste it. Could you imagine if humans had to do that?
Oh.
Wine, of course, we stand on, don't we, to make?
To make it
in the old days.
Place.
Mm. Not really taste it, but I guess it creates a taste.
Yeah. Impart something to the flavour.
What's your thoughts on that? Butterflies' receptors in their feet.
Well, I was more interested about the part where you said...
don't ask me ever how I'm doing on the podcast. Is it that bit?
No, you always just
speed
the next
off,
part,
right,
but that's
all right. Okay.
When you said humans have most of their taste receptors on their tongue, where else do humans have their taste receptors?
Where else do you have taste receptors, Mr. Lamont? This is getting a little bit Christmassy.
Yeah.
Yes, good question.
Do you think it's in the nose, like the nasal cavities?
Well, they say when you have a cold, don't you, that you don't taste much of your food because apparently a lot of the taste receptors are in your nose. So I think we'll go with that one.
There you go.
And not explore any more other regions of the body. But of course, the feet for humans, well, at least mine, are very sensitive. I don't taste things through them, but there's definitely something going on the soles of our feet.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know, maybe something happened in the genes and one pathway went to another and Bob's your uncle, the butterflies are tasting through their feet and having massages on their tongue.
Well, I don't know about that for me. I prefer the way that we're doing it now.
Well, Lily, just in case you think we're completely crazy, as a podcast that's labelled Jeducation, we do like to educate our guests and listeners. So now you can tell your friends at Christmas that butterflies taste through their feet. How wonderful is that? Okay, moving on. Here's a riddle of the day. So you're going to listen to this riddle and hopefully come up with the answer. Will's never actually got the answer right at the moment, but then that's the way it's meant to be. So here we go. Answer at the end. And listeners, let's see if you can get this one. No Googling, of course. What is as light as a feather, but even the world's strongest man or woman couldn't hold it for more than a minute? I say again, what is as light as a feather, but even the world's strongest man or woman couldn't hold it for more than a minute? Listeners, Will's mouth has gone up a little bit to one side. It does look like he's cockily understanding the answer to this. No, it's gone back down. Okay.
I don't know.
You don't know.
One answer came to mind, but I don't know if that's appropriate or not.
Yeah, right. Let's keep that to the end then. Lilia?
I think it's quite difficult to guess.
Yes. Well, there's a riddle, so it shouldn't be too easy. But I know you PhD students should be able to get these, so let's see. Okay, wonderful. Let's go straight into the main content then today. Will, what is the main content?
That is a great question. I think most of our content is going to come from Lily. So could you tell us more about why you're actually in Zhuhai? What brought you here?
Oh, yeah. Actually, we are now doing some teacher training in the Yongwen School, and we are now promoting the CLIL approach, that is Content and Language Integrated Learning approach. That is, the teachers use a second language or foreign language to teach students the subjects in the second language. For example, in Yongwen, the teachers will use English, which is the second language for the Chinese students to learn the math, science, and something. And our project hopes to help the students to learn both the science and the English at the same time during the lessons. So that's my research about, and we come here to go co-design materials with teachers like Chris and other teachers, and then observe their lessons and to see what we can improve after implementing these materials.
It is true. I have been CLILed. If we could just go back over CLIL, because there's so many acronyms, of course, now. So CLIL stands for, C's for?
Content.
Content. Which is important when we're teaching.
Yes.
L is?
Language.
Language. So content, language. I?
Integrated.
Integrating content and language.
Integrated learning.
Into a learning thing.
That is a very different definition than I've ever heard. But all right.
Okay. Well, that's interesting in itself. So back on to this. How long? So it's your PhD, isn't it?
Oh, no. Actually, it's a master, but it's a research master. And it's a 2-year program.
Okay, so you've been doing it for nearly 2 years, haven't you?
Yeah, yes.
And basically, you're in partnership with the school where we are.
Yes.
And you facilitate. So you come here and you use your systems that you're developing. You integrate them into our classrooms.
Oh, actually, last year we came here. The Hong Kong U team came here with two professors.
Yeah.
And now this year, only me come here.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually, it's the school invite us to come here to promote the CLIL approach and then to integrate it into the practice.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, of course, Will, being in China, many parents want their children to learn English.
Yes.
So what we have here is, I don't know if you mentioned it, but we have a parallel immersion. So what that means is you would say half of the curriculum would be in Chinese, which is what our students have, right? And half would be in English.
To be exact, is the parallel immersion is that the content, the science content, would be teach in Chinese first, and then the similar or the same content will be teach in English. So the students have learned the content already in their Chinese, and then learn them in their English. Right. So that's parallel immersion.
Okay.
It's also a different definition of parallel than I've ever heard, but that's all right.
Is
it's series,
it's not
parallel.
It's not half, half. Yeah.
Yeah, is it just for science then that we're focusing on here?
I think in this school now it's mostly science. They have maybe similar periods of lessons, but for the math, it only have one lesson per week, right, for the math. But for my research, we focus on science.
Okay, okay.
So I'm a little confused still as to the actual outcome that they're hoping to achieve from this.
Because you know, the primary students, they are not so strong in their language, that is the English, and it's quite difficult for them to learn the science or math in English. So we hope that we can help the students, can make the content knowledge available for the students, and also to improve their English at the same time. Because sometimes we always think, oh, the students will pick up their English automatically without any scaffolding. But we would like to raise the teachers' awareness to provide some help or support for the students for their language learning as well when they are teaching the science.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of elements to this. And there's a lot of emotion around it as well from teachers and actually what is clearly, as Will's trying to allude to, the objective of this project. I mean, so that would come from what the school kind of want. What about yourselves in Hong Kong University? What's your objective? What do you want to achieve with this practical study? You know, because you're going in, aren't you? You're filming teachers. You've done myself. You provide... you go in and you ask the teacher, you know, what are you teaching at the moment? And then you form a lesson, don't you? A couple of lesson plans that we can shape as we want, but we then do the lesson and you come and film us. What's it in it for Hong Kong University? What are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to show a new way forward of...
Actually, because the approach is a bit new, the clear approach is a bit new, and as you can see that we are designing the materials and we are looking for how to design some effective materials for the school. Actually, you know that the materials we design at the beginning are not good at all. Maybe it will be too difficult for the students or for the teachers, and so we try to co-design with the teachers. So we try to look for the ways to improve the materials, and in now in the education there are not enough appropriate materials to implement the clear approach. So now we are exploring the ways. So I think it's not ready yet, but we are trying to give some implications for the material design. That's one aim of my research. The another way is to how to cooperate with the teachers, because if you are only focused, because in the research, if we only doing the literature, something is not helpful. We have to put the materials into practice. So we come here to cooperate with the teachers and listen to the teachers' ideas and their views, and their ideas and views are really crucial to help the practice.
Well, yeah, theory to practice is a very different scenario,
yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we also hope to, through practice, we can get some practical ways to do the clear approach.
Okay.
You stated that there wasn't much material out there to support the clear approach, which is, I'm sure that's when you hear it said back to you, that's very confusing. Don't you agree? You have, surely all this material exists in English already.
Yeah.
And if you're truly looking for a parallel approach, you simply can use pretty much from your aims that you stated, you could use any curriculum that teaches math and science and simply teach that alongside.
Yeah.
So I'm curious again, what is the actual aim? What is the outcome from this? Because it doesn't gel at the moment.
Okay, because the clear materials are not enough, because the materials we now use are some Cambridge textbooks which are originally designed for the native English speakers, and the levels actually are not so suitable for the Chinese students.
Well, actually the books that they chose for the students are probably inappropriate. So it was simply the choice was inappropriate. It's not that it doesn't exist.
There is, for example, the Cambridge curriculum or books that we use are for native speakers. You're right, and they are inappropriate. And, of course, you would say, well, do Cambridge do English language learner books? And, of course, they do.
Yes.
So, yeah, that would have been...
That's why I'm confused. It's because all of this material already exists.
Yeah,
if the methodology is all that we need to employ, then the material exists.
Yes, they exist, these materials, but sometimes they focus much more on the content knowledge. And the students in here, they are EFL students, English as a foreign language learners. And we need to provide, we need to help them to learn the language step by step. For example, from the vocabulary to sentence to something, and to help them to achieve the language objectives. And also, we also think the content is important to engage students, because the most effective way to learn the language is to use the content.
Just for the listeners, we can get a bit more into an actual class, because I've done one of your classes. We did soil, didn't we? We did a little practical demonstration and stuff. Can you just explain, before I give my take on it, because I've only done a couple of classes before, but how's your CLIL material different to, say, like you were saying, the material out there now that would be based on English language learners, so non-native English language learners? You can get science books and you can get math books for those. How does the CLIL approach differ? You know, what's your unique... part of it, or is there? I don't know. I'm just exploring it.
For example, in your lesson talking about the soil,
okay.
we first, at the beginning, we use some videos to arouse students' interest, and then we also do the experiments, right? The two experiments in the soil class, and then after the experiments, we have some conclusions, and to help to give some students the language support to help them to express what they have found through the experiment. But usually, in the usual teaching, the teachers may do the experiments with the students together, and then that's it. They just finish the experiments. Sometimes I notice that the teachers do not help the students to express themselves, or just ask their ideas and then let them to express their ideas, but not sometimes their expressions are not in a scientific way or something. And so we try to help the students to give some language support to express the experiment result in a scientific way.
And those teachers that you've seen and you've referenced to in the past that just do the experiment with the students and don't go probably deeper, are they teachers from mainland China, or are you actually saying you've seen this outside of China, in Hong Kong and places like this?
I think it's quite common in Hong Kong and China,
right,
in
okay.
the classes, especially the teachers who have only received training in content subjects. They may not realize they need to do some conclusion with the students together.
Some deeper thinking, yeah. Will, just because have you done one of these CLILs with Lily?
No.
Yeah. So in the class, obviously she explained it quite well there, but as a link into this, you get a worksheet. Now, don't fall off your chair, because I know there's lots of things around worksheets and printing out worksheets, and they just all pile up. And we're not going to get into whether or not everything can be digitized, because, well, anyway, that's the way we're going to have to go. But for this particular discussion, how it looks different to me is the worksheet, two-page worksheet, that's based on the videos and discussions and the experiment we have. It's bilingual. So you'll have the English, but then you'll also have key... China. It's not translated 100%, but there's key Chinese Hanzi in there. Now, from where I'm coming from here, I can say that's the only thing at the moment that seems a little bit special, glittery, I can say. Apart from that, in my opinion, it's just a worksheet, and it takes you through the lesson, which you're integrating with other things. I mean, I wouldn't say there's anything... It, from where I come from, different about that. I just think this world has a great way of just churning what we already have into just a kind of new acronym.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think we're becoming very aware of that now. You know, and this acronym is CLIL, and,
yeah.
Well, isn't that exactly the same? Do you know, that's why we're trying to understand where the...
I think another important thing is that the tasks, they are linked to each other. They are closely related to each other, not just randomly designed. and then they this task hope to achieve the ultimately to achieve both the content objectives and language objectives at the end. Perhaps if you don't analyze the task in details, you may not notice that they are so closely related to each other. Now I prepare an example that is with the grade one student teacher, and maybe we will not go in detail, but my point is that all the tasks are closely related to each other and to prepare students for the next step.
I mean, I get that, and listeners, you can't see, but there's a nice, this is another worksheet here, and there's nice pictures and you know, diagrams with, they have to fill in the answers, and some Chinese again, Will, if you see here, maybe on for the explanation and the key terms. I don't know if you want to say this, but isn't that what normally a teacher, when they teach, would make sure they do, link the tasks?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that? So I mean, what teacher is doing this one science thing, and then suddenly they're talking about the materials of metal, you know, then they're talking about soil. I mean, you're saying that you wouldn't do that, but then most teachers wouldn't do that, would they? They'd stay on task.
And also you see that here is some. The kittens are pulling out, that is some language support, and with the pictures or with other visual acts to help the students.
It's interesting because most science curriculums, we'll just stick with science for now because it's exactly what we've got in front of us. Most science curriculums will scaffold heavily from kindergarten all the way through. They follow on logically from each other. You have to teach the scientific method and discovery and asking why before you move on to things like that. And then like a spiral approach where you come back and you revisit something and then use that again later. And doing that is key to help students to be able to integrate this type of thinking into their lives. It's I guess that there's been some sort of difficulty in getting that to occur properly, and I don't know if that's the material's fault, but rather it's generally going to be the teacher who you've put in charge of this. If you have, as you said, a teacher that's only trained in like a content subject, and they haven't been trained in language acquisition, it's going to be difficult for them to achieve those language objectives. Or if you have a teacher who's only been trained in language acquisition, they're going to find it hard to understand the reason why they're doing the content objectives. So I don't know. It seems like you've got a picture of a bullseye here with three arrows stuck in it, but it seems like it's missing the mark still. It's still concentrating on a book and content when really it has to be the teachers in the classroom and the administration supporting them and giving them longer class times and less interruptions in the classroom.
Yeah, what appears to, I mean, first of all, I mean, I have to say, Will, that, you know, Lily's done a lot of work on this. I mean, looking at it, I know you've done lots of videos, and we look forward to seeing the final dissertation, right, thesis, at the end of it. What do you think the conclusion, where are you heading? Because, you know, most people doing research or coming towards the end kind of can see where the results are heading. What do you think would be one of your main conclusions that you could take from your study for this?
Yes, because now my research actually focuses on the collaboration between the teachers and the researcher. And yes, you're right that the administrative support is really important because when we implement the clear approach here, actually there are some mismatch between the aims of the administrative with the teachers, because the teachers always want to engage the students and develop their scientific thinking or something, and the administrative always hold that, oh, they can have good results at the end of something.
So they want to finish the books rather than cover
all the things in the book. So we would see how we could provide appropriate support for the teachers to help them to implement the clear approach, and actually what kind of challenges the teachers are having now, and what kind of things that can facilitate the teachers to implement the clue. Now my research are looking for these kind of factors.
Right.
That makes sense.
And, okay. And also the time things is also a big issue in the clue approach now.
Mm-hmm. The time?
The time that you mean that, I mean that the teachers are always, only have two lessons to teach all the contents. Yes, that is a challenging thing for the teachers now.
So in conclusion, what you just said then, regardless of what approach, whether it's the CLIL approach, the NIB approach, the X765 approach, if the foundation, the soil, the administration's not there, you know, then it doesn't matter what approach you're going to use, you're not going to reach your objectives. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So again, it all starts at the top, right? With where the school, the faculty wants to go. And in terms of how it implements its timetables and where in this so-called parallel immersion the children get time to submerge in this kind of approach.
Right.
That's really interesting. I mean, what I just find bizarre is last week we're talking about Saugata Mitra. You know, he came over to Dulwich, and we're talking about, you know, no worksheets, no real classroom setting, but more around computers and free thinking and creativity and having discovery, a question that you ask and you go deep, and then we juxtapose it with this, and it's a really, I don't really know what to say, but life is beautifully colourful, isn't it? Well, is there anything you'd like to add there at the moment? I think with the
it's always interesting seeing how universities seem to focus on studying something that if you went and asked actual teachers, they could tell you in a moment. So it's good that universities spend this amount of time to create, you know, these studies and to collect the data and actually formalize it. It's interesting the approach of going around and then reaching the same conclusion that most teachers will be able to tell you from their experience. But
That's why I've never really been into long distance running, because especially I don't know, I get these people understand them. They start at the beginning and then they run for hours and then they come back to where they started again. Yeah. All that trouble on their body.
So it's not improving, right?
Well, we're all moving forward in our own ways, aren't we? And I've certainly appreciated your approach and doing your video, and it's a good experience. So, as I said, we look forward to reading your thesis. When will it be ready?
Oh, maybe next year. Yeah.
Yeah? Hot off the press, when about next year?
August,
okay, so a bit of time.
Yeah.
How long is it going to be?
The time to write a thesis.
No, how many words?
20,000 to 40,000.
Right, well, Will, being our literacy expert, can read that and conclude for us, please. One other quick thing actually has come in my mind. Because, you know, these kids, they're not native English speakers. Parents want them to learn English, not just English, but scientific language and stuff. Again, I believe, and I don't know if we talked about this last time, but installing the love, we have talked about this, installing the love of reading into a first grader when they start in these so-called parallel immersions with whatever approach will help these things wonderfully. Because the minute they start to be able to read in English, I think these ideas of bringing in scientific language and mathematic language will really just merge through easily.
There's plenty of ways that you can... It's funny that we still English, science, and math in different silos, and we don't really allow them to touch each other when really they should be, you know, English, math, and science, math, and, you know, they're linked. I mean, it makes it easier to teach to a large amount of people if you put them into, like, their own little cubby and don't let them touch, but I think we're going to let that, you know, we have to let that go away at some point, and I think the people that create this content need to sort of be aware of that their content isn't going to work the same way. You can't You can't have a discovery-based learning open-ended classroom and say, well, you're only allowed to do science right now, don't do any math. You know, it's just, it doesn't fit.
It's
so
ridiculous. actually, we also think that all the curriculums, they could not separate with each other, and they actually help each other to help the students develop their thinking. Mm-hmm. So we could not say, oh, you are not allowed to do math in your science lessons.
Right.
That's actually...
That's actually bad. What?
No, that's actually what you just said. You've experienced that kind of.
No, I have never experienced that because it's ridiculous.
Yeah. lots of ridiculous things. I mean, I'll give you another ridiculous thing. The idea of STEAM. Nothing ridiculous about STEAM
except for the.
You don't like the art.
I don't like that. It's the whole point of it. All right, is to increase people into the engineering sector. Yeah. Arts is. You know, that has its own thing.
Yeah, okay.
Says the guy with an arts degree.
So yeah, okay, well, let's take the A out for now and call it STEM.
Yeah.
But we have a STEM-meme room, don't we, next to our new library we've just opened. And there's absolutely nothing in it. But anyway, so there's free thinking for you.
It's a lovely couch.
You just sit down on that. There's not even a couch. You sit down on the floor, kids, and think of England. Okay, so there's a STEM. And one other thing that came up that we have talked about again.
Mm.
And going on from Mitra's stuff that we've come into contact with, whatever you're doing, I think university and these new groundbreaking studies, whatever, that could help education, we must, and I'd hope you agree, somehow bring in technology into it now. Mm. Because these kids, Chinese, English, wherever they're from, are using technology now.
Mm.
And I just feel from what I've seen with the CLIL stuff at the moment, it's good. It's worksheet-based, though. There's no link to technology at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And again, looking at the future, when these kids are 20, 30, they're going to be using that. They're not going to be using these like this worksheet that we have in front of them. So that was another thing. I know we've talked about this. It's on board. So you go and ruffle some feathers in the hierarchies of these institutions, Miss Yuan, and we'll see where we can get to. Right. Word of the week, Mr. Lamont. Let's go.
And the words of yesterday.
Okay.
Autocracy.
Absolutely. Oh, it is autocracy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Sorry,
I thought you were being rude to me again.
No, no.
Okay.
No. No, it's just funny because we've been noticing something, and it kind of fits in what we were talking about today. We've been noticing something at the school that's making it very difficult to move forward and make changes. And it seems to be, it's weird though, because you could say that there's an autocratic style of management here at the school, but then you've got separate departments that are like, they should be underneath each other and they're also next to each other so that they can each make their own decisions. But you can't argue with those decisions. And so you have this department saying one thing and this department saying it's something else. And you have to follow them both, but you can't because, you know, so it gets a bit silly. So, like, we want to make a change in the classroom and the automatic answer is no. And so, it's been very interesting seeing how the management style is still so top down here. It's very... One person says boo and everybody else has to do something.
Mm.
Whereas we've noticed like in leadership and like the difference between leadership and management, we can talk about that another time. But in most leadership positions these days in not just in the West, but in many places, the managers and leaders have taken on a more like service-based role where they don't face their charges. They face up back to the leader. And they carry the needs of their people that are underneath them. They carry them back up to the leader. It goes this way, you know, until the leader at the top is his job or her job is to care for the people underneath them, and to make sure that they have every tool available to do their jobs. And of course, that person can't just, you know, oh, you want that? Oh, I'll just give it to you. No, of course not. They have to make executive decisions, but.
So what world is this, Will?
Yeah, well, there's certain, I think it's Target overseas that has
something
like this.
You love bringing in Target, don't you? Yeah, you brought Target in last time.
Well, maybe, no, it's not Target, it's another one.
No, Target was the one beaten down by the local...
Yeah, in Canada, yeah. blame Canada.
I was about to say by the local Bob and Bill shops, but it wouldn't be Bob and Bill, would it? Well, it could be. But yeah. Anyway, Will, London right. Shops. So autocratic.
Yeah.
And I guess your reasoning is we need less of autocraticness, if I can use the ness, and more of...
It has its place, but it needs... It's like a tool that's being used everywhere when it only really needs to be used in certain places, or, you know.
Autocratic. Any thoughts on that, Lily?
My, or on yours?
Yeah. His word of the week is autocratic. We have a word of the week in our podcast every year. Well, give an example of when we'd say autocratic. Don't be so autocratic. We wouldn't normally say that, would we?
Oh, yeah. It might come up in conversation, but it's usually used to describe a system or a certain management style.
Top down.
Yeah.
It's like an army.
Well, even armies wouldn't work that way. Like, you tell a bunch of grunts what to do, you have to make them understand why they're doing it and, you know, what's in it for them still. It's like, because they all got guns. Yeah. If they don't like you.
Well, that's an easy one, isn't it? It's just like the computer games you play at home, Mr. William. All you got to do is you go out there, pretend you're on one, and just pull the trigger.
Well, yeah, that's unfortunately what sometimes they...
I didn't know. I didn't know you had to explain too much in the army of what you got to do. Everyone kind of knows what you do when you join the army, don't you?
Yeah, it depends.
It'd be a little bit stupid, wouldn't you, if you didn't know?
Yeah. You have... Unfortunately, I read a lot of stuff about management and things like that. And so a lot of the style in the army you'd think was quite autocratic, where one general says, do this, and everybody does it. It's just simply not the case, though. Especially in, I guess, in the West.
Well, yeah, I think, and just from my opinion, doing business at university, that was very much the autocratic nature of an organization was very much changing and being fed into more where it would be like almost kind of horizontal way of management. Of course, it all sounds lovely and bubbly and nice, but at some point you need to have both, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, good and bad works together, right, as yin and yang does. So, okay, I'm being told by the researchers that we're going off point again. Not my fault this time, may I say. It was Mr. Lamont's autocraticness. okay, right, well, let's get into Teacher Tippy.
A recipe for success if you want to compete.
I was apparently told it was my teacher tip today, where we give a tip for teachers. But I'm thinking, as we're honoured to have you in the studio, can you give us a tip today for teachers out there? We have a lot of teachers that, from your experience with working in collaboration with them.
The teacher tip? Actually, today I observed a lesson given by Martin, and I think it's really good because he encourages students to share that their ideas with the whole class. So I think one tip is encouragement. Always encourage your students to show off themselves or also to express themselves, no matter what kind of ideas or crazy things they have in their mind.
Agreed. Here.
Yeah, so if someone puts their hand up or says something, allow them to finish what they want to say.
Yes, to listen to the students and to encourage them to talk.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's a good game called Yes And that I got from drama school. And instead of saying no, you say yes and. So you say you accept what they're saying and then you can hand it to somebody else.
Yeah,
yes.
That's good, like table tennis. Ping, 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 ping. Yeah. No, it's great. And I think like when we did our class, especially with science, to start with a question. Don't feed them with anything. So actually see what they have already, because... pretty clever kids.
Yes.
They come out with a lot of stuff. And even if they are not native speakers, they chain it together. And when you've got about seven of them and they're linking their words, you come out with some congruence.
Eventually.
At the end. Wonderful. Okay, so great. Thanks for that, Lily. So coming to the end, let's finish, of course, with the answer to that riddle that probably none of you are going to get.
May the smile be with you.
Thank you.
Right, riddle away then. I'll give it one more time. What is as light as a feather? Don't look at my notes, Mr. Lamont. I never had you down as a cheater.
No.
So autocratic. What is as light as a feather, but even the world's strongest man or woman couldn't hold it for more than a minute? Now, I'm going to need to ask for your answers, both of you. So Who's going first?
I was going to say something else, but I do have an answer.
Yeah. Come on, then.
I'm going to go with sneeze, even though it wasn't the first thing that came to my mind.
Okay.
A sneeze.
A sneeze.
Mm. A string.
A string? Yeah. Like a piece of string?
Oh.
Don't get all string theory on us now.
Ooh.
An actual physical piece of string.
Yeah.
Okay, because they are quite light. Right, well, William said sneeze, and Lily said a piece of string. So what is as light as a feather, but even the world's strongest man or woman couldn't hold it for more than a minute? I have to say, you were close. The answer is, for our listeners, their breath.
Oh.
Yeah. We wish you all the best with your master's study. Look forward to having Will read it and conclude in an autocratic fashion.
Hey.
And Merry Christmas to all of you and all the listeners out there. Thank you very much. This is China Jedi.
If you enjoy listening to the China Jedi podcast and want to get involved, either by asking a question, expressing your opinion, good or bad, light or dark, or even appearing as a special guest, then get in touch by emailing our team at info@chinajedi.com. That's info@chinajedi.com.
May the smile be with you.